2 weeks ago, we talked about the one that, hey, there were red lights on the dashboard when it came to picking my mate, and I didn't pay any attention to him. I just kept right on going, blew right through those red lights and got married anyway. Then last week, we talked about how many people come into our office and say one of the greatest mistakes of their life is getting involved too far sexually while they're still dating before they get married. Now tonight, we want to finish it off by talking about the fact we have people in our office all the time who say, wow, you know, why didn't I think before I did that? Why didn't I take the time to think through what might happen to me if I did that? Why didn't I take the time to realize the consequences of my actions and of my words? And so I want to talk to you about that this evening, about being aware and being connected to the consequences of what we do. Now, I want you to look right here in Galatians chapter 6, and there's a verse of scripture I want to show you. It's verse 7. It says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked." Now, you say, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that it's impossible for people to walk around making fun of God and ridiculing God. That's not what the Bible's saying. What the Bible is saying and what this does mean is that, in fact, it's actually translated in some translations, nobody makes a fool out of God. What this means is that God has set up certain inescapable laws for the universe, and the one of them that we're going to learn about right here is one that he set up. And what the Bible is saying here is that nobody, regardless how clever they may be, regardless how slick they may be, regardless how powerful they may be, nobody ever beats God's system. Nobody ever outsmarts God. Nobody ever outmaneuvers God. Nobody ever outwits God's rule for the universe. Even though it may look like sometimes people have done that, they really don't. Nobody ever, ever escapes God's eternal law that we're about to see. Because if somebody did, they'd make an idiot out of God, and nobody makes an idiot out of God. Now, what is this rule that we're talking about? Well, it goes on to say, look, nobody mocks God, makes a fool out of God. Here's the rule. A person, a man, a woman reaps what they sow. Or as another translation puts it, whatever a person sows, that's exactly what they will reap. Now, we have other ways of saying this in our culture. We've recognized that this is true. We say in our culture, the chickens always what? Come home to roost. Y'all know that? All right, well, this is fill in the blanks here. All right, let's try one more. All right, what goes around? Yeah, sure. Oh, what are we really saying? All we're saying is that in our world, we have validated what God is saying is true, and that is whatever a person sows, that's exactly what they're going to reap. Now, in light of that truth, realizing that that's true for all of us, then we need to make sure when we're thinking about some course of action that we're asking the right question. Now, let me tell you the wrong question. The wrong question is, well, will God forgive me if I do this? That's the wrong question. The answer to that question is yes, of course God will forgive you. If you make a mistake and you're really sorry, and with authenticity you really come to God and you really seek His forgiveness and you really repent and make a U-turn in that area of your life, will God forgive you? Of course He'll forgive you. But that's not the question that you and I ought to be asking when we're considering some action. The question we really ought to ask is, what consequences may I be bringing on my life if I do this that I may have to live with for a very long time? That's the question we really need to ask. Because yes, God is merciful. And yes, many times, even when we do stupid things, God tempers in His mercy the consequences that we might ordinarily face. That is true. But nowhere in the Bible does God promise that He's under any obligation to do that. And we can't presume on the mercy of God to just assume He's always going to do that. It's much better if we're wise enough to say, all right, before I do it, let me think through what are the consequences that I may have to face. And maybe I ought to be smart enough just not to do this. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ in a real and personal way, let me say that this question is a very important question that we all need to ask ourselves. And that is, what are the consequences that I may have to live with for a very long time if I don't ask Jesus Christ into my life to be my personal Lord and Savior? Friends, eternity is a very long time. And people who reject Jesus Christ and refuse to embrace Him as their Savior are going to have to live with the consequences of that for eternity. So if you're here tonight, this is a question I want to challenge you to ask yourself. Don't just assume that that doesn't have any ramifications to it. Making that decision not to embrace Christ has some very serious consequences. I hope you'll think about that. But it's not just for people who aren't yet Christians. I mean, this truth is for those of us who are as Christians as well. A couple of years ago, I was in New York City. I was with the board of Jews for Jesus. I'm on the board, and we had a board meeting there. And one of the guys on the board was a very well-known member of the pharmaceuticals community. He owned a pharmaceuticals manufacturing and distributing company. He had a wife, two daughters who worked in the company. He had a well-known witness, a well-known reputation throughout not only his company, but the whole pharmaceutical industry as a Christian. And he served on the board of Jews for Jesus with us. Well, what happened was he said to me, could we go out for a walk at lunchtime? And I said, yeah, sure. He said, you're a pastor, aren't you? I'd like to ask for some pastoral advice. I said, all right. So we went out, we're walking around Manhattan. And he said, well, Lon, here's the situation. He said, I live right out near San Francisco, and he said, I love doing theater. So I've gotten involved in this little community theater right near my house doing plays and stuff, and I met this woman. Oh boy, you know what's coming next. He said, and I love this woman. He said, this woman is the most wonderful woman I've ever met. He said, when I'm around her, I just feel like I'm alive. I just feel like energy coming out of me. And she understands me like my wife, yada, 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 doesn't. You know that old line. He said, and so I'm thinking about leaving my wife for this woman. He said, what would your advice be? I said, you know what? You don't need a pastoral counselor. My teenagers could tell you what the right thing is to do here. I could call any one of my boys and they could give you the advice you need. And that is, you're nuts. Have you thought through the consequences of what this is going to cost you? First of all, it's probably going to cost you your marriage. Second of all, it's going to cost you the respect of your two daughters, and it's going to very negatively affect their spiritual life. You know, now they're going to sit around and they're going to say, see there, my father was the hypocrite that people said he was all this time. See, you can't trust anybody who calls himself a Christian. It's going to ruin your reputation in your company. It's going to ruin your reputation in your industry. I said, and we're going to throw you off the board of Jews for Jesus because you're not serving on the board of Jews for Jesus doing stuff like this. I'll make the motion. And I said, and all the pain and all the heartache that you're going to cause yourself and everybody around you, I said, I want to tell you something, man. There is not a woman in the world worth the cost that you're going to pay. And gals, there isn't a man in the world worth the cost that you would pay if you were thinking about doing that with a man. You say, well, what did he do? Well, he ran away with the woman. You say, well, Lon, remind me to come to you for pastoral counseling. I mean, well, it's not my fault. I gave him good advice. Did I not give him good advice? It's not my fault he didn't take it and ran off with the woman. And he did. And folks, let me tell you something. Every single thing I told him would happen did. He lost his marriage. His two daughters wouldn't even speak to him. He was completely disgraced in his company. He was disgraced in his industry. We threw him off the board of Jews for Jesus. And today he isn't even walking with Jesus Christ anymore. See, what you sow, you reap. And man, did I learn a lesson from that. Let me tell you something. I learned, man, to always sit down and mentally conduct what I like to call a fallout study. You know what a fallout study is? It means when you sit down and you say to yourself, okay, if I go ahead and I do this thing that I'm thinking about doing, let's make a list of all the fallout that's going to happen to me. And it's amazing how much when you start looking at that list, it empowers you to go, this just ain't worth it. This isn't worth it. There's a verse in the Proverbs, listen to it. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. It said, a wise person sees danger coming. Why? Because a wise person has taken the time to slow down long enough to consider the long-range impact of what they're about to do. A wise person sees danger coming and hides themselves and takes refuge. They see a tank coming down the road and they got enough sense to get off the road in the ditch so the tank doesn't run over them. A fool, the Bible goes on to say, just keeps right on going and suffers the consequences. Gets run over by the tank. Now, friends, God wants you to be a wise person and not a fool. God wants you to have enough sense to slow down and count the cost before you do something so that you're not a casualty of getting run over by tanks on the road all the time. That's not fun. And see, Madison Avenue has duped us, guys. Madison Avenue has wiped out all consequences of sin. On television, you don't see it. I mean, take, for example, the Budweiser frogs and lizards. I mean, they're hysterical, right? Just pushing beer and drinking beer. I mean, they're funny. But do you ever see on television Budweiser showing you the families that are weeping because they've got alcoholics in the family? Do they ever show you on television people who are killed by drunk drivers? Do they ever show you on television people sitting on the floor hugging a toilet bowl, vomiting their guts out because they had too much to drink that night? Do they ever show you on television girls that got date raped because either they had too much to drink or the guy they were going out with had too much to drink? Do they ever show you on television the awful pain of children at home while mom and dad are out blowing all their money on booze when they should be home spending time with their children? Do they ever take you into an ACOA, Adult Children of Alcoholics meeting, or into an AA meeting and show you the incredible pain and destruction of life that those people have suffered through because of alcohol? No, they don't. They want you to believe that you can drink all the beer you want and there are no consequences. And the same is true when it comes to sexuality and sensuality. When was the last time on television, on any primetime show, or in any soap opera, you ever saw them tell you about the broken families, the broken marriages that come from sexual immorality, about STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, and the heartache of herpes and so many of other these things, about what it's like to catch and die from AIDS, about the destruction of dignity and self-esteem that comes when people get involved in pornographic activities, and the loss of respect and the shame that comes from being caught doing things they got no business doing? You're not going to see that on TV, because Madison Avenue wants you and me to believe that there are no consequences to our actions, particularly the actions that we do that are in violation of what God says. But that's not true. Listen, I deal with real life. Every single example I just gave you, I deal with in my office. There are consequences to what we do. And we better get rid of Madison Avenue and start believing God when He says, hey, nobody's going to make a fool out of me, not Madison Avenue or anybody else. What you sow, you reap. Remember that. And they said, well, Lon, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, put some handles on this for me. Give me some practical guidelines as to how I can maybe do a better job of thinking things through before I act. Well, I'm glad you asked, because I got a couple to give you, okay? And they're quick. We'll give them to you quick. But here's some practical suggestions. Maybe you want to jot them down. Number one, make yourself take time before you act. Put some deliberate strategies in line in your life that force you to slow down and cool off and think about things before you do them. Now, Brenda and I, when we got married, we made an agreement that we were not going to spend more than $100 on anything until we at least went home and slept on it overnight. So, you know, just to cool off. And I got to tell you, it is amazing when you're standing there in the store looking at the thing, smelling it, sniffing it, touching it, with the salesperson telling you how wonderful it is. You know, it's like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. You know, your eyes are spinning and you're completely out of control. And you want this thing. I got to have this thing. Then you go home and you sleep on it. You wake up the next morning. It is amazing how the next morning you recover and go, I don't want that. Why would I want that? I'm so glad I didn't spend my money on that. We've saved thousands and thousands of dollars by just going home and sleeping on it. But it was a deliberate strategy we put into our relationship to force, not us, but me, to wait. That's the truth. To force me to wait. It's been a blessing. And maybe there are some things in your life where you could find some deliberate strategies that say there are certain things I will not do, or I will not buy, or places I will not go, unless I have at least a certain strategy to slow me down and help me think about this before I do it. Number two, if you're thinking about doing something and you want to make careful that you don't step on a landmine, let me tell you what to do. You bathe that thing in prayer. Now remember, I said bathe it. I didn't say sponge bath it. There's a difference, all right? We want to take it and go, okay, a little bit of prayer, boom, we're done. No. I'm talking about putting it in the bathtub and letting it soak. And that may take days, and that may take weeks, and that may take months to do that. But friends, I find that every bad decision I have ever made was a decision I did not bathe in prayer. And when I bathe decisions in prayer, I make much better decisions. Because just by the nature of it, it forces me to slow down, and it also forces me to listen to God. When you're bathing something in prayer, it means not only do you tell God what you want, but then it means you shut up long enough to let God tell you what He thinks about it. You understand? And you'll make much better decisions. Bathe things in prayer. Number three, don't ever, ever, ever do anything that violates the clear standard, the clear teaching of the Word of God. Don't ever do that. I can guarantee you, no matter how much you've prayed about it, I've had people come in and say to me, I've prayed about it, and I know God wants me to cheat. Now, is that meant you can't do that? I don't care. You can pray about it from now till doomsday. God does not want you to cheat. God does not want you to lie. God does not want you to have an adulterous relationship with somebody else. You would not believe how many people come in my office and say, I prayed about it. And I knew I ought to sleep with this woman who's not my wife. Now that's stupid. That's completely stupid. There is no way in the world that God told you to do that. Because God will never tell you to do something that violates the clear standards and instructions of the Word of God. If you want to keep from stepping on landmines, trust me, if it's something that the Bible is absolutely airtight and clear about, you don't need to bathe it in prayer. Just don't do it. It's just that simple. Number four, only got two more. Number four, find some people around you. Some godly friends. If you've got wonderful parents, this is a good role to give parents. But if you don't have great parents, then just find some godly friends who will give you advice that you can trust, who you can run ideas by, and who you've given the liberty to say to you, you know, that is the dumbest thing I ever heard. Now, wives are great at this. I mean, they're born with this spiritual gift, I think. My wife's wonderful at this. And you know my definition of biblical submission is that submission does not mean that a woman shuts up, puts her brain in neutral, and accepts every stupid idea that comes out of her husband's mouth. You know that, right? I don't believe that's submission. I believe God puts men and women together to balance each other. And I'm constantly saying to my wife, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And sometimes I don't even say it to her, and it doesn't matter. She still says it's stupid, stupid, stupid. Stupid. And you know what? She's usually right. Very seldom do I go against my wife's opinion, and when I do, I almost always live to regret it. Well, you know, I've learned over the years, humility says you stop long enough and you listen. Fifth and finally, if you've taken the time to really put some things in place to slow you down, if you've really bathed it in prayer, if you've really made sure that you're not violating some clear instruction of the Word of God, if you've run it by your friends and you've gotten their advice, if you've done all of that and you're still not absolutely sure that God wants you to do this, here's number five. If in doubt, don't. How's that? That's just simple. If in doubt, don't do it. Because friends, most of the time you can come back and do it later, but once you do it, you can't come back and don't. Did you follow that? You got that, right? You know what I meant. I say to my boys all the time, fellas, I want to tell you something. Very few times in my life have I ever regretted something I didn't say. But I'll tell you what, I sure have regretted a lot of times stuff I did say. And it never hurts to go the extra mile, and if in doubt, just don't say it. If in doubt, just don't do it. You're not going to regret something you don't say. something you don't do. But if you're in doubt, let me tell you, and you press ahead and do it, you're liable to make a real serious mistake. Just a general rule. If in doubt, if you're not absolutely sure in your heart that God is in it, just wait and don't do it. Now, I hope these principles will help you. I'm talking to you like I would talk to my own sons, because nobody taught me these principles when I was 22 or 25 or 27 years old. You know, I learned all this stuff the hard way by just screwing it up enough times. I began to go, oh, okay, well, maybe I could learn something, how to do this thing better. I wish somebody had told me these things 25 years ago. I'd have saved a lot of mistakes. I would have stepped on a lot fewer landmines, and I'd have messed up a lot less people in my life. So I'm trying to help you, and I hope you'll take it in that spirit. Man, these principles will serve you well. So remember, the question, it's not, will God forgive me? Of course He will. The question is, what are the consequences if I do this I may be bringing on me that I got to live with for a long, long time? Slow down, folks. Make good decisions. You'll be glad you waited and made a good decision. May God help you do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks so much for talking to us tonight. And I pray that you would take these principles we've talked about and that you would work them into the lives of every one of us here, myself included. You know, Lord, it is so easy just to rush headlong into doing stuff without even thinking, without even stopping long enough to consider the long-range consequences. And there are many people today who are in very undesirable situations because of that. Lord, we know you don't want us to be fools like that. You don't want us to have tanks run over us on the road because we fail to get out the way, but you want us to be wise people who see danger coming and we get off the road. And Lord, I pray that you would use the principles we've talked about tonight to help us all be wiser people, to help us all make better decisions. And God, may you change our life by what we've heard here tonight. I pray for people who are thinking about decisions tonight that they have to make. Use these principles to help them, Lord, work through and make good decisions. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.